Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, we can never be accused of being fair weather FPL content creators, can we? Because the weather has not been fair, has it, for Liverpool or for Spurs this weekend. In fact, it's been particularly unpleasant. And as IM1974 in the chat is saying, this is going to be one long moan fest. And he's here for it. And we're here for it.
Sad weekend, wasn't it?
Could be one of those weekends. FPL's been okay. We'll talk about our teams later on. We'll talk about how we've got on. Red arrow for one of us, green arrow for the other. But it could have gone either way. There's very little in it. In fact, it's pretty much a kind of grey arrow for both of us. But listen, one of us has got red, one of us has got green. So more on that later on. We'll talk about our teams.
The game week's not over, of course.
The game week is not over. We've got the Chelsea game coming up. I've got two still to play. Palmer, that makes no difference whatsoever. But I've got Gusto, so hoping that he rolls out. You've got Petrovic as well, right? So
why have I got three?
The Chelsea clean sheet could yet save your game week. It could turn it from moanfest into...
I don't feel that negative.
Do you not?
No.
In fact, you were pretty chirpy even after Spurs got battered. You were pretty chirpy because you had Anthony Gordon, didn't you? 17-pointer.
Right. Take that back. When Spurs got battered yesterday, I was not chirpy at all.
You were FPL chirpy?
Not really. Didn't paint much. I was in a really bad mood yesterday. Today, I'm fine because...
Arsenal lost. you're like, oh, no, Villa have gone ahead of us. What a shame.
I said to we were at a football tournament with Max today, and Max's coach, he's a big Spurs fan as well, like I am. And I said to him, I said, Dean, what do you actually want to happen this afternoon? Because I can't bring myself to support Arsenal because I don't want that. And I can't bring myself to support Villa because I don't want that. I was like, can they both lose? It was one of those comments like when Klopp said the other week, when they said to Klopp, didn't they? What do you want to happen in this game? It's like, them both to lose. And that's how I felt. And then, of course, you know, sorry for everyone for breaking the Arsenal clean sheets by doubling up.
Well, loads to discuss, as usual. We're on the cusp of a big double game week. Double game week 34 is coming up on the horizon. And the two teams that we've banked on the most, the two teams... that we've bought three in, I've certainly bought three in, I think you're on the verge of, or if not thinking of, bringing three in from both Arsenal and Liverpool. Arsenal and Liverpool have chosen the perfect time to lose some form and for Arsenal to start conceding goals again because we have this big double game week coming up and they're the two teams that we're all focused on. And here we are talking about two defeats.
Yeah, well, I know. Home. And of course, both of them with big games to come before the double game week as well, because Arsenal obviously very much...
Away games as well, right?
Yeah, Arsenal very much in the balance, their game. So, you know, for sure they've got to go and get a result. And then you lot, well, you've got to go to Atalanta and try and score four and keep them out.
Less said about that performance, the better, I tell you.
But, you know, these are big midweek games. And of course, it's coming at a time where we saw some injuries today, like Conor Bradley going off injured. We've seen some returning players for Liverpool. Yeah. Obviously, Kelleher owners will have been annoyed today to see Alisson back in goal. That was maybe a week earlier than we were anticipating, I think. We were all thinking, or maybe it's a problem for next week. But with Bradley getting injured as well, that's another issue. Trent came obviously on the pitch today. Jota was seen in the lesser spotted Jota was back in action again today.
Do we need him back? We need him back and firing? We really do at the minute.
But of course, all of that points to rotation in that Liverpool team. And ahead of a double game week, with midweek action as well, it is quite difficult to know what you're doing.
Loads to discuss, Sam. Loads to discuss. And Wolves as well, showing us actually that they've got some teeth ahead of their double game week as well with a hard-fought 2-2 draw this weekend. So, listen, there's lots to talk about from an FPL perspective in the context of game week 34 coming up.
Yeah.
I have to say, and we'll talk about Spurs-Newcastle game in just a second.
No.
I feel like I've got away with it again. I feel like I've got away with it again, not owning Son. Hooked before 60 minutes, which none of us, I think, were expecting. And now the blank, of course. So I've gone without Son for a few weeks. And again, I've dodged a massive bullet there. So I was pretty pleased with that. But lots of super chats coming in, Sam. Lots of super chats. I've got to scroll back. There's so many super chats.
Blimey.
Thank you, guys. Very generous of you this evening. Malachi Fox, thank you, mate, for the super chat. Thinking of selling Salah after game week 34, out of form. Malachi, hold that thought. When we talk about Liverpool, I will give you some thoughts about Salah. I don't think it's an isolated thing with him. Although he hasn't returned from that injury quite with the gusto that we were expecting. But Liverpool themselves just lacking confidence at the minute, really lacking confidence, and very a bit casual as well. I'll explain that later on when we talk about them. But it's a good comment, Malachy. You're right, and there will be some FPL managers that, you know, not going to sell him for the double game week.
No, of course
bonkers,
not.
Right? But you might
be highly captained.
Well, we've got to have that conversation now,
yeah.
Because I'm not sure that he's the go-to captain anymore. Though I'm not sure who he is, quite frankly.
No.
Ken's Bromsgrove, thank you, Ken's, for the super chat. Evening, both. Hope you're well. Yes, we are, mate.
We are
thank
good.
You.
Yeah.
A good week of FPL for me so far, up to 18k.
Nice.
Love
very
that,
good.
Footy in real life wise is not the complete opposite. City title now, I guess. So, Ken's, I think, is a Liverpool fan, so he's probably lamenting that performance like I am. It does feel like City's to lose now. You know, it does feel like City's to lose.
Pep's the big winner this weekend.
Pep is the big winner, particularly from today. And I have to say, I'm an eternal optimist, obviously, as a Liverpool fan. Even I'm sitting here thinking, we can turn it around against Atalanta in the week. We can. We've seen it done before. But some of the narrative coming out of our, like, did you see the way the Arsenal ground just completely emptied as soon as Watkins scored? It's like completely emptied. And then after the game, they're coming to Paul Merson for his thoughts and stuff on the game. And he's just like, well, you're never going to catch City now. They're a machine. They're just going to win every game. We've lost it. And I'm just like, mate, that's like a month and a half of football to play here. It's still all to play for. And you're like giving up because City are City.
Yeah.
They are in the driving seat, no doubt about it. But you can't just say game over. There's loads of football to be played yet. Nick Giordano, thank you, Nick, for the super chat. Sorry to go early. Mate, listen, you go as early as you want. Sam, if you were wild card in 35, and had to say now, who would your three Spurs players be? You too, Lee, since you're unbiased. Lol. Nick, we'll talk about Spurs in just a second. We'll hold these super chats, guys. Thank you for the super chat. This is all stuff we're going to discuss as we go through. In fact, we're probably going to start at Spurs. So we can get that out of the way. Not least because this is now a game week 35 conversation, Nick. I think you're absolutely right. Because obviously the blank coming up for next week. So we'll talk about Spurs in a little bit. George Day, mate, thank you. Hello, mate. How are you? Brentford win this weekend?
Draw, didn't they?
Should have won. George, are you happy with the draw? Let us know. Good evening, Lee and Sam. Hello, mate. Hope you're both now feeling 100% here for the excuse fest from Lee. Hey, listen, mate, no excuses today. Our game was bonkers. We created the chances. We just didn't put them away. It was just crazy. But we are now both feeling 100%, so thank you, mate. Small red arrow with Palmer and Braithwaite left. That's a difficult duo to find isn't it? One of them is going to do well, one of them probably not, George. But listen, small red arrow. In a game week where all Liverpool and all Arsenal have kind of blanked, it feels like if you've got Haaland captain and something out of Newcastle, you're probably doing okay. And then one last super chat from Joseph. Hello, mate. Nice to see you. Hey, Sam and Lee. What a disaster result that was for LFC today. Guys.
Yeah.
We know. Only positive is I'm still on a green arrow somehow. So, yeah, listen, guys, I don't think it's been a disastrous FPL week. It's been average, I think, and we'll talk about our teams later on. I think it's been an average week, unless you've got Isak and Gordon for whatever reason, then you're doing very well.
Yeah.
Some of the football today, in particular if you're a Liverpool fan, was a bit difficult to take. So that's us said hello to everybody. We've got a few moderators in. Nigel's in as usual. Hello, mate. We've got Matt Francis in and we've got United BT. Loads of you guys in this evening. So thanks for joining us. Let's go to the results page, Sam, and let's talk about that game at lunchtime. Newcastle 4, Spurs 0. Let's not dwell on it too much because Spurs now blanking in game week 34. So no one's really considering them for that week. But for those that are on wildcard in 35, like me, which three Spurs, let's answer the super chat that we had a second ago, which three Spurs might you go for or might you not go for three based on this performance?
Leaving this performance aside, I don't think you'd treble up on Spurs on a wildcard. Like, I appreciate that they've got the double in 35 and then another double in 37. But in and around that, they're difficult fixtures. Obviously, it's Arsenal and Chelsea in the first of the double. Then it's Liverpool in 36 as a single game week. And it's away at Liverpool as well. And then the double game week has Manchester City as part of it. And all right, they're two home games in the double. It's only us and Manchester United that double in 37 that have two home fixtures.
Let's have a look at these fixtures then, just while you're talking through them, to give everyone some context for those that are on the video. So there's the Spurs double game week, Arsenal and Chelsea.
Yep.
And you're right, Liverpool in 36 away, you'll get chances against us. Burnley and Man City against in 37, another double game week. And then, yeah, Sheffield United away to finish the game week, to finish the season. So it is, you know, two double game weeks there. If you are wildcarded in 35, you've got to be looking at three Spurs.
The problem is, I don't think you can, because I really don't think that you're going to go with the Spurs defender. Because if you look at those fixtures, particularly those, the first three that come out of 34, so the two fixtures in 35 and then obviously the single game week in 36, there's not clean sheets, let's be honest. Mm. Against Man City, against Arsenal, Liverpool and Chelsea, I don't see there being a single clean sheet in there. And yes, there are players in that Spurs defence who can get attacking returns, but we're mostly seeing that weirdly come out of players like Romero and Van de Ven, because obviously Porro went off injured in game week 34 and that didn't look that promising either. So we're going to have to wait for some news on that. And Udogi hasn't been in good attacking form of late. So I don't think you want a Spurs defender. And then the reality is that choosing three Spurs attacking assets is quite a challenge. That's quite a difficult thing to do, yeah. Because one, there's the risk of rotation, because obviously it's another 15 days before we play Arsenal in the North London Derby. Not only is it 15 days until we play Arsenal in the North London Derby, but Arsenal have got to play, what, four games in that time?
That's madness. Yeah.
So there's a lot that can happen, obviously, but I just don't think that the defence is the way that you go. I think we will get Richarlison back hopefully in the next, before that game against Arsenal. He's an option, maybe. I think it's Son, and if you want to double up, it's Brennan Johnson. That's my honest view.
Yeah,
but I don't think you want to treble up, if I'm really honest. If you really, really want to punt on a third, then go with Van de Ven, because, and the reason I say that is because he's the cheapest of the defenders. You can bench him when we're not inside the double game weeks.
No upside there, though, is there? Surely if you're going defender, you're going for Udogie or Porro.
Well, Porro's injured. So
is he? Oh, okay.
Went off injured in the Newcastle game.
Okay.
And Udogie, there isn't any upside. He hasn't been getting any. I mean, we say this and he gets in attacking positions, but there's been no upside. The defensive returns, the goal-scoring returns have come from the centre-back. So Romero or Van de Ven. I mean, if the other option is to go with the goalkeeper and have two goalkeepers, if you've still got your bench boost available, that might be an option, because Vicario should hopefully get a clean sheet at home to Burnley in 37. So, and there's plenty of save points available against teams like Arsenal, Manchester United, Manchester City and Liverpool and Chelsea. You'd expect there to be plenty of shots in those games. So you could go with the shot stopper if you wanted to, but don't expect any clean sheets.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be going too crazy on Spurs. Son, I think I wouldn't call him a must-have, but I'd be amazed if I've not got Son. I'm a wild card.
Well, given how much you hate not having him at the moment.
Well, yeah, listen, the last few weeks he's not massively produced the goods, but I've hated not owning him,
yeah.
Because he could have done. He could have done.
And should have done.
And probably should have, yeah. I don't mind your Brennan shout, by the way. The challenge you've got with Brennan is, where do you fit him in that midfield? Because there's going to be so many others that you're going to want. That do you want to double up on Son and Brennan? I'm not sure that you do, but...
Well, the question mark, I guess, is, at the moment, you will have been holding, like... There will be people, and it maybe leads into the other super chat that we had before, that are thinking about getting rid of Salah at that point.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
Obviously, Liverpool will have had their double. They may or may not still be in the title race by that point. So I guess that there are conversations and players that you could move in and out across that middle, and maybe you could change it to make Brennan Johnson work, but... For me, I think the treble up on Spurs is a bit too much. Oh. And that's coming from me.
Yeah, that is a big statement from you, I have to say. Nigel the Crab, thank you for the member chat, mate. He's been a member for 25 months here, Sam. Did you know that?
Over 2 years.
I'm proud to be a supporter for over 2 years. Oh. Mate, it's been a pleasure having you. I've nothing else to add other than thank you for your kindness and support. Thank you, Nigel. Thank you, mate. And thank you for new job as moderator over the last few weeks. So I appreciate it, mate. Thank you. 25 months, Nigel and Simon Burdett have been the supporters here on the channel. So thank you, mate, for your support. I don't know what happened to Spurs here. Well, I mean, we've got to talk about Newcastle. Because Newcastle were excellent, so we've got to address that. Individual errors. I know you love him, but he was at fault, wasn't he, Van de Ven? There was a couple where he just sort of slipped over. He let the defence in.
What's he doing? Has he got the wrong boots on? Has he got the wrong studs in? Who knows?
It was very un
Van de Ven in his performance. I don't know. We're never great when we go up to Newcastle. They're never great when they come to us. We're never great when we go up there. We got battered last year by them up there.
A lunchtime trip to Newcastle is no one wants that either, do they?
No, not really.
And I'm the first one to moan about 12:30, and you've not done it. But if that was Liverpool, I'd be whinging about that.
Why?
Because it's 12:30 in Newcastle. Yeah, but, no one wants it.
Somebody's got to play at 12:30. I'm not like you. No. If someone's got to play at 12:30. I don't normally moan about that kind of stuff. No, I just think that we weren't on it. And we weren't on it right from the beginning. There were some silly little mistakes. But Newcastle, like, you have to...
Chapeau to Newcastle. I have to say, anyone that's got Anthony Gordon in their team... I don't like it in FPL when I haven't got an asset and they jam some points.
There was no jam from Anthony Gordon.
It's like a penalty or it's like some like sideways pass assist for a worldie. I can't stand that. I had no problem with anyone getting 17 points for Anthony Gordon this week because he was absolutely brilliant. Top for crosses in the game week with what looks like 18 according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Top for chances created with 8. The next best was De Bruyne with 7. Then you've got to go down to Salah with 5. So Gordon, crosses, chances created, shots on goal, got the goal, took the corners, 2 assists. All round brilliant performance from Anthony Gordon. And if we're talking about players that we're going to have in game week 35, to go back to the super chat that we had before, and we're saying, OK, well, which 3 Spurs players would we have? I tell you what, there's more of a conversation about which 3 Newcastle you might have, because Sheffield United at home in 35 is a pretty good fixture. In fact, one of the best fixtures on the ticker there. Then they go to Burnley. Then they have the double game week against teams they can absolutely get at, including Manchester United. And then Brentford away in the final week. So I'm sitting here saying I'd be amazed if I didn't have Son in my game week 35 wildcard. I'd be amazed if I don't have Anthony Gordon.
You'd have to be a lunatic not to get Anthony
Gordon. He was fantastic at the weekend.
But it's not just at the weekend. It's every home game. Like, every time Anthony Gordon plays at home, he's like... It's just the gift that keeps on giving in FPL. Like, it's... Until the first goal, the first mistake from Mickey van der Ven that led to the goal, then Spurs' head went. And Newcastle just were rallied by it. And Anthony Gordon is... He's such a little terrier. Like, he's all over the park. He's involved in all the good stuff that's going on. I think for me, I obviously doubled up on Newcastle on my wildcard a couple of weeks ago and then obviously lost Lascelles through injury.
Yeah.
And so I was watching the game yesterday, obviously hoping for a Spurs victory, but also watching Newcastle, because one of the planned transfers that I have post game week 34 is to move Darwin to Isak.
Yeah.
Because obviously that makes a lot of sense, because Darwin will have played out his double. I'm not loving owning Darwin Nunes either. And then I can move to Isak ahead of the Newcastle double in 37. But then Tino Livramento making an appearance off the bench. I was like, Oh, hello, Tino.
That just got my attention as well, I must admit.
You've pricked my little ears, because in my head, and for those of you that listened to the FPL pod last week, I was talking about my headache when it came to what to do about Lascelles, because obviously I can't just afford to keep him because I've still got a bench boost to play.
Absolutely, yeah.
So he's got to go for somebody. And part of the big issue...
Boost is like a problem chip sometimes, isn't it?
It can be.
You've got to deal with these things. Yeah,
it can be. But then at the same time, I don't... You know, I would quite like to replace Lascelles as well, because it's an opportunity. I always like to see these things as an opportunity. And I was looking at him thinking, it's really tough, because in order to get somebody half decent, I've probably got to play Mickey van der Ven levels. I've probably got to play like 4.4, and don't really want to pay that, because it's an extra 0.5 out of my budget that I've got to find. Plus, as I mentioned before, when we were talking about Spurs, I hate the fixtures for clean sheets, so I don't really want to do that. But Tino Livramento coming off the bench, I was like, okay, we've got a 4 million defender now. And I know that, you know, we've been bitten before and there might be some rotation, but there are so many injuries in that Newcastle defence. Mm. And Tino Livramento is by far one of their better defenders. So if he's, you know, if he's back and available, then maybe he's...
I don't know if
Eddie
Howe likes him, though.
I don't
know if he's not one of Howe's favourites. But... And I don't disagree with you. I think he's a good defender. He's a good young defender. But we know what Eddie Howe's like goes with his favourites, doesn't he?
Well, we do, but his favourites are all injured. So I think I think what it does give us an opportunity now, whereas before I was kind of thinking, well, maybe I'll just use that transfer this week and try and deal with it. But actually now I'm thinking maybe there's an opportunity here to just watch Newcastle again. Obviously, I'd really quite like to invest 4.34, to be honest, but maybe there's an opportunity there to watch him again and see whether Tino gets the start. Because if he does, then he'll probably be coming in for me. But yeah, him... Gordon and Isak are the two. Like, I think getting Gordon and having Isak alongside are the way that I'll be going.
They look very good, don't they? Very good. We had a super chat from Polkit. Thank you, mate, for the super chat. He says he's inspired, Sam. He's inspired by Nigel's super chat. He's so proud and happy to be part of this family, Polkit. Oh, thank you very much. That's some love in the chat tonight, guys. Oh, this is brilliant.
Is this because we've had bad football weekends? Everyone's decided to try and cheer us up. Yeah. Is that what's happening?
Liverpool out of the title race. Spurs.
You're not out of the title race. Will you stop it? This is not over yet. You're like the Arsenal fans all leaving early. What's up with you? Come on.
At least Liverpool stuck around. You're both among my favourite people. Love all the content. Take care. Thank you, Polkit. Guys, Polkit. The chat tonight is absolutely on it, guys. I appreciate it. Aww. A lot of people saying how much they're loving the hair as well, by the way.
Oh!
No, my, it's like mine.
Not yours. I cut yours.
You do cut my hair, yeah. It looks
yours
really
looks nice.
Yeah,
I'm very happy. My hair, I was just, do you know, it's funny actually you say this, because as we were about to come on, I went to the loo and I came back and I was like, I'm amazed my hair still looks nice.
Looks great.
Stood in the wind at a football tournament today. I thought it was going to be everywhere, but
looks
thank
great.
You, everyone.
That's great. So Newcastle, for sure, will have Gordon and Isak potentially on radar, I think.
You've got to have both. You can't wild card and not bring them both.
Maybe. The only thing that puts me off is, you know, what have they got left to play for other than pride? And that's not a, it's
European
not a bad
football.
Thing. Yeah, but I don't know. Anyway, Gordon, the standard. Listen, you got his 17 points. Well done this week. And you deserve it because he was fantastic. Top throughout the whole game week so far with 52 underlying BPS. And Isak, by the way, not far behind him with 50. They're first and third, respectively. So if you add them both, fair play. You've had a good game week. Let's move on then from Newcastle and Spurs. Jump to what we've seen today then. So a crazy day of Barclays Premier League today. I'm not going to talk too much about West Ham versus Fulham other than thank you, Areola, for not showing up today, because that's the best thing that happened to my FPL team today was Areola not showing up so that Dubravka's six came off the bench. That was the best thing that happened to my FPL team today, because my three Arsenal and my three Liverpool, not good. Not good. We're not doing Liverpool yet because I've got to get mentally prepared for it. Arsenal 0, Aston Villa 2. We're talking about decent performances from the likes of Isak and from Gordon at Newcastle. Well, listen, this, in my opinion, was one of the away performances of the season. I thought Aston Villa were absolutely superb and they deserved a 2-0. They deserved it. They were brilliant.
They did.
So what did they? What did they do that no other team was able to do? Or was it an Arsenal problem? What was your view on the game?
Maybe it was both, actually. You know, I didn't think Arsenal were their usual selves.
Bit of Bayern fatigue, maybe? Or are we just making excuses there?
No, I don't think that's an excuse. I think that could genuinely be a thing. Like, you know, that was obviously a big game in midweek on Tuesday night. They're obviously very well aware that they've now got to go to Germany on Wednesday night for the second leg of that. That's going to be another big, big occasion.
Villa had to play midweek as well, so you can't really
Thursday night,
that that was fatigue.
No, but they, and neither of them travelled. Villa had their home leg, Arsenal had theirs. So, but the results of that, I think, are quite telling, aren't they? Because obviously Aston Villa getting a great result against Leo on Thursday evening. Maybe there's a bit of momentum. And I also think if you look at what happened in the, and again, I was going to say, if you look at what happened around them, like Villa would have taken so much heart from what happened to Spurs on Saturday lunchtime yesterday.
Yeah.
You're not telling me that Emery's not going, boys, come on now.
Do you think there was a bit of that for Arsenal as well? The fact that we'd lost. Do you think there's a little bit in Arsenal going, oh my, we've got to win this now. We've got to take advantage.
Maybe.
Because not only can we, if we win this,
a bit more
Liverpool
pressure on themselves
are out of the race,
potentially. Yeah.
But then, you know, we've got to catch up with Man City. This is what Man City do, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a bit of a red flag for me ahead of the double game week, is that this is what Man City do. They have got the muscle memory for this time of the season. They know how to win. They know how to put pressure on teams. Yeah. We saw it last season with Arsenal, and we thought that we might get a different sort of running from Arsenal. And we might still, as you quite rightly keep saying, we still have a title race on our hands.
Massively.
No one's out of it.
Nobody's
right?
out of it.
But equally, you know, there's a lot of Liverpool players that don't have the experience of this running, right? Klopp does, and Salah does, and Alisson does,
Robbo
and Virgil does, and Robbo does.
Trent.
But listen, a lot of those players haven't been playing recently.
No.
And all three in our midfield, Maka and Endo and Szoboszlai, none of those
World
three
Cup
do.
Winners, though, in there.
I get it, but this is a Premier League title race. It's a different pressure.
Sure.
So I wonder whether there was a little bit of that from Arsenal today. Maybe they just were feeling the pressure.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, I didn't think Arsenal were that bad.
First half they were good.
In the
first half
they were good. I didn't think they were that bad. Like, I think that Villa just kept putting on the pressure. They kept putting on the pressure, and the back four, for the first time, just looked wobbly, didn't they? And they obviously made the change and took off Ben White. And then the two goals came after that. So if you're a Ben White owner, you keep a clean sheet, which is so irritating.
Yeah, fair play, Ben White owners. Sneak that one.
Yeah, annoying. Annoying as hell, that one. I hate when that happens. That really annoys me, unless it goes for me, and then I'm all over it. Yeah. But yeah, look, I credit to Aston Villa, because I thought that they weren't scared. And I think that's the other thing, is that a lot of clubs go to places like Arsenal with their absolutely clinical clean sheet record that they've had this year, with the lack of big chances that they've been conceding. And there's almost a fear factor, I think, of going there at the moment that says, you know, they're so good. Whereas Aston Villa just, they didn't show any of that. They kind of went, they played. I guess that there's a couple of things there as well, isn't there? There's the Martinez ex-Arsenal connection. There's the Unai Emery ex-Arsenal connection. I don't know whether these things lift you or not, but I certainly think the fact that Villa was still in this game, and they were probably in it at halftime, that's going to be a massive lift. You go in at halftime, you're still in the game.
Absolutely.
You push on. They've got something to fight for themselves. Like, this isn't... We shouldn't be surprised by Villa doing well in this one. Villa have been doing really well all season. They've got good players. They've got... They're in a fight for Champions League football. Like, if you'd have said at the start of this season that it's going to be Aston Villa and Spurs fighting out for fourth place, I think you'd have gone, what?
Yeah, yeah. I think in this game, there was a hell of a midfield battle. And it was when...
Ødegaard went off as well. I think that was quite telling.
Off. That was a big call, I thought, from Arteta.
No, he's injured.
Yeah, so, all right, well then, as teams that are about to play Arsenal coming up, potentially without Ødegaard,
well,
maybe exploit it. I'm not saying that was the reason they lost, but they did, he gives them something in midfield.
Massively, he's important.
And they just lost that control without him, I thought. And Villa just took advantage. It was so, so good. The Watkins finish, the little dink over Smith Rowe that then goes over the keeper, it's elite. I'm telling you, he is really reaching proper, proper levels now.
He's great.
Ollie Watkins.
Should be going to the Euros.
Got to be on the plane to the Euros.
So should Anthony Gordon.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Listen, if Gordon doesn't get in ahead of Rashford in that team right now, I mean, it's, got to, haven't you?
Southgate will not leave Rashford behind.
And Ollie Watkins as well. I mean, even could he even go ahead of Harry? I don't know, you know.
Sorry.
Well, he's not won any trophies, Harry, again this season.
Sorry, hang on, wait, hang on, stop. Did you just suggest that Ollie Watkins goes to the Euros ahead of the England captain, Harry Kane?
I know, as well as you do, that Southgate will play Kane and ahead. Henderson and Rashford. He'll play all them, won't he?
No, but Henderson shouldn't be going ahead of Gordon. Rashford shouldn't be going ahead of Gordon.
Totally
yeah, but
positions.
Your midfielders, there's a midfield slots. Like, I'm not being funny, but Gordon's should be on the plane.
Yeah,
I don't know why I've gone back to Newcastle.
But you wouldn't put him in there ahead of Henderson.
Yeah, I would leave
Henderson. Different players.
Well, Hendo's
Palmer in there ahead of Henderson, or you'd put Bellingham, or you'd put.
Well, all of them should be going on the plane ahead of Henderson.
Sure.
With your ex at Liverpool, look, I've upset him now because I've upset his ex Liverpool.
That's only because I had a pop at Harry. That's right.
Yeah, but he's the England captain that you suggested he shouldn't go on the plane.
No, he's definitely going. He's definitely.
Yeah, no, he hasn't won anything. Bless him. Go leave Spurs. They said you'll win a trophy. They said. Harry.
He's just gone there in a freak. I mean, what Leverkusen have done this year is unreal. I mean, let's not go off on a Bundesliga tangent, but congratulations, Xabi Alonso. And what
unbelievable.
He's achieved there.
Yeah, so good.
That is
so good.
Awesome that they've won that. And that, what is that, like 8 years in a row Munich have won it and they've now got...
They've got the Leverkusen. Curse of Kane.
Absolutely brilliant.
Come Absolutely. Back, Harry.
Love that, love that. We missed a super chat, Sam, just while we were fluffing about Bundesliga. Nick Giordano in with another super chat, mate. It's very generous of you. Thank you, mate. Thank you both for the response about Spurs. Hey, you're welcome. Personally, I think you're too hard on them. Two doubles, very attacking. What defenders are better than Udogie? Listen, mate, we're not ruling them out. I'm more or less saying I'm having some. And then
I think the thing is, having been a Udogie owner for the last few weeks, like, he will be attacking.
Yeah.
But... there won't be points, and that's my issue.
Yeah.
Like, if you look back at the points returns, they're just not there. And that's the thing, is that we're playing these really attacking fullbacks. Might change on the other side if Porro is out longer term. I haven't seen any word on that yet. But if we've got to play Emerson Royale there as well,
So what are we saying about Arsenal then? So double game week 34, we've all piled on. I've been on two defence and Saka for ages. I don't think I'm going to change that. The fixtures, in case you need reminding, are Wolves and Chelsea. Wolves away and then Chelsea at home.
Will you stick
with what?
After the double? yeah. on three Arsenal?
Probably.
Will you?
Probably. I know the Spurs away. I mean, that's an anything can happen sort of game. And from a, you know, title perspective, I hope that it is an anything can happen sort of game.
But then what? Spurs,
Bournemouth at home, Everton at home, Man United away. I think as long as he's fit, I'm not selling Saka. And just because of the ownership, I'm going to have at least one defender. I wouldn't rule out moving off of a defender. I wouldn't rule that out.
Yeah.
But I can't see it at the moment. I'm not about to go and make changes in my team for 34 that include taking or swapping any of my Arsenal players.
Oh, I'm not suggesting you do it for 34. I was wondering on wild card. When you wild card for 35, will you stay trebled up?
Maybe.
Because they don't have a double again. And then you've got the other six teams that do. Like, is there a tendency to think, okay, well, maybe I go for a Man City defender or...
Yeah, you know, it's a good question, that, isn't it? Because both Arsenal and... am I right in saying that Liverpool don't either?
No, that's right.
Yeah, so two teams that we're heavy in on 34 and have been for some time, all of a sudden might be off the agenda somewhat because of no doubling 37.
Yeah, because 37, it's Chelsea and Brighton, Manchester United and Newcastle, and Man City and Spurs.
Yeah, and there's picks there.
And there's picks.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, there's picks there. So, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. The way that Liverpool play today, I could just get off of all of them, to be honest with you. But Arsenal, given that there's a title still to be won, they'll be in it. There's fixtures there that are winnable. I don't see me selling Saka. I don't. And maybe a defender. But I don't know. It depends how brave you want to be, doesn't it? It depends how brave you want to be. Because if you're going to want Son for his two double game weeks, which, let's face it, you probably are, you know, you're going to want some of the big hitters in there. Maybe, I mean, Mo Salah, maybe you go without Salah. We'll discuss that as well in a bit. But, you know, there's loads of picks from those teams. City with the double, so probably still going to have Foden and Haaland, probably. Might even go for a third one in there somewhere. Given that I expect them to now march to the title, Man City.
March to the title?
Yeah, they will. Look at that. Forest, Wolves, Fulham, Spurs, West Ham. They're not going to drop any points there, are they? I'd like to say that they will, but they won't.
They can't. They don't take points from us.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is a problem for them.
FPL Harry's in. Hello, mate.
Hey, Harry.
Congrats on the 100k, by the way, mate. That is superb.
Yeah,
loving it.
Loving
the button. That was brilliant, mate. I love that. Harry's saying zero Arsenal and zero Liverpool, my game week 35 wildcard.
There you go.
That depends how brave you want to be. And Harry's up there, right? He's up in the sort of top 20k last I looked. So that is a brave FPL manager. It's definitely a conversation. Aston Villa, though, let's talk about them very briefly then. So Ollie Watkins looking absolutely elite. And while we all got, well, I say we all did, I certainly did, binned him off when he had the hamstring injury. For the podcast, this is, I'm doing the air quotes, hamstring injury a couple of weeks ago, and got Darwin. That's looking like a shocking move now, isn't it? After Watkins bagged two last week and another one this week. And then in the double game week in 34, he's not got a double, but look at that fixture. Just looks great, doesn't it? Bournemouth at home. I sort of back him to do better in that than I do Darwin in Fulham and Everton. I just do. He's playing and the way Darwin's playing, I wouldn't back against it.
But we had massive conversations. You and I had them. I had them with the guys on the pod. I had them on the fantasy show when I went on that. Right, selling Ollie Watkins was never ever going to be an easy thing to do. He has been absolutely fantastic in FPL this season. He was never going to be an easy sell. I had a lot of value in him. But the issue is that front three slots, you want to try and exploit as much as you can the doubles, and sometimes that means that you overlook the single game weekers, and we always say don't overlook them. But because Ollie Watkins had that game that he missed because of the hamstring injury,
it was an excuse, wasn't it?
There was a reason to do it. And I think, you know, that reason still exists in some ways because Darwin obviously has the double next week, and it's a nice double if he gets both games. We'll talk about him in a minute. And then, of course, following on from that, afterwards, you could go back to Watkins if you wanted to, but you've got to find more budget to do that because he's significantly more expensive. And, of course, that was the other benefit of having Darwin instead of Watkins, is that you could invest more money in the likes of Salah, and you could have Son, and you could have Saka, and all of these expensive players that you wanted to in the midfield. But I think, you know, going out of game week 34 and into 35 and beyond, yes, you can absolutely go back to Ollie Watkins, but a lot of managers will be looking up up at Newcastle and Isak, or they'll be, you know, looking
Isak for that double game week, won't you? Surely.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and so that's going to make owning Watkins difficult, because of course Haaland's going to have one of the spots because Haaland's got the double in 37 as well. And depending upon how your team structures, you know, maybe you can afford a Solanke in the third spot. Maybe you've got Cunha in there from Wolves. Maybe you've got Muniz in there. Like whoever you've got, I think Watkins finding a spot for him is difficult, and that's why so many people did sell a couple of weeks back. And obviously, it's not gone that well.
Yeah, very good performance from Aston Villa. Very good indeed. Another good performance from Crystal Palace. And let's talk about this. Now, we actually didn't watch this game today. It was on TV in the UK, but didn't watch it. Neither of us watched it because Max, our son, had a football tournament with his team today. So we were out there supporting them rather than watching Liverpool. In the end, I'm glad that I did what I did and I chose that, right? I've got years to watch Liverpool.
Whereas, I did give you, the option, didn't I?
You did say, you know, why don't you said, I'll take him and you stay home and watch Liverpool. And in the end, I thought, no, I won't do that because I've got, you know, a limited amount. For a few years, hopefully, he's interested in football. I can watch Liverpool for years and I've done for years, so it's fine. I'd much rather go and watch Max.
Good decision in the end.
Good decision in the end. There was a period of time when they were between games, weren't they? Max's team. And they had a gap of about 40 minutes. And they were showing the Liverpool game in the clubhouse at the place where we were. So I went and watched it. And it was full of Arsenal fans. All the kids were Arsenal fans.
Well, of course, because where we were was relatively close to Arsenal.
Yeah, it was in North London. So it was a lot of Arsenal fans there. And you know what kids are like, right? If it's a pub with a load of adults, you might get one or two Muppets, right? But generally speaking, at that time of day, it's usually pretty cordial. But of course, I was sitting there and all the kids were just going, Palace, Palace, Palace. And I was just like, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this. And then Curtis Jones missed a one-on-one in like the 83rd minute or something.
Yeah, you came back out.
I came back. I was like, I just can't watch it.
I was like, what are you back for?
I can't watch it. It was just, just tragic, tragic, tragic. But I have caught some of the highlights. Listen, easy for me to sit here and say we had chances. Some of the blocks from Palace were unreal. You know, we missed a bunch of chances. We racked up a load of XG. All of that is absolutely true. But Palace, SA took his chance. He's completely unmarked when it comes to him in the box, unbelievably. Alisson's pulled out one of the saves of the season towards the end, where he's just stuck a hand out and Mateta thinks he scored. So that could easily have been 2-0. I just had a bad feeling about this game. Palace for XGC outside the top three are up there, right? Outside of Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, they're like fifth or sixth in the league. This was never going to be an easy game. And what I've noticed over the last few weeks is that Liverpool have been very, very casual, like real casual. That Sheffield United result gets overlooked because we won 3-1.
Yeah.
But you take Cody's goal out of it because it's in the last minute. You take Macca's worldie out of it. And then it's 1-1, right? I remember saying to you when we were watching that game, we went 1-0 up and it was casual.
Yeah, I remember.
So casual, as if to say, it's Sheffield United at home, we'll win this. We just turn up and we win. There's a sort of like passive arrogance about Liverpool at the moment, particularly at home. Then you go into Atalanta in Europa League. Oh, we'll win that. No problem. The expectations we'll win. Somebody, Mo will win that for us or something.
Honestly, I was so surprised about
it. It was
that
awful.
Game. Yeah, I didn't watch it because I was watching Villa, but.
So bad.
It was. Yeah.
So bad. And then you fast forward, you know, you go to the United game and okay, we sort of controlled it. But again, it was a bit sort of casual. So Kwanzaa plays a casual ball and Bruno smacks it in. Crowd get up, we're 2-1 down. That all plays out as it played out. We get at the time I thought I was howling penalty. But in the cold light of day, I looked at it the next day and I was just like, a bit lucky to get that. Could have not been. And then today, Palace at home. You're like, okay, well, yeah, Liverpool will win. They'll beat Palace at home. Casual,
yeah, but
too casual. I don't like it. And there was one or two that stood out for me today, one or two players, and I'll talk about them in terms of picks for next week. But I don't like Nunes at the moment. I really don't want Nunes in my team for next week. I really don't. I think Watkins will outscore Nunes.
But you're not going to change that.
I'm not going to change it, obviously, because it's a double game week. But I'm not sure he's right. I don't know if he's fit. I don't know. I'm not sure Cody's on great form either. But with Jota being back, That's a game changer.
Yes, it is, Lee. But the reality is it's two games in. So you've got to play Thursday night, a big, massive game in the Europa League because you've got to go and score four goals and not concede, right? So you've got to do that on Thursday. Then on Sunday, presumably, you've got to play again. or another away game, because yours are both away, aren't they? Two away matches. So you've got to go away again.
We've only got two home games left all season. Have a look at these fixtures. So we've got Fulham away and Everton away in the double. And you better believe that game at Goodison is going to be tricky. They're going to want to beat us.
Well,
right?
Of course.
West Ham away, then it's the Spurs game. Villa away in 37, bloody hell. And then Wolves at home.
But my point was, is that you've got to go away to Atalanta on Thursday. You've got to fly back to Liverpool. Then you've got to travel down to London to play against Fulham.
Yeah.
Then, all right, it's a game, it's an away game.
But it's in Liverpool.
But it's in Liverpool, at least. But it's still an away game. So, you know, nonetheless, you've got that game. You've got those three games in... Less than a week, six days, because Thursday through Wednesday or Thursday the week after, that is a lot of congested fixtures. Now I hear what you're saying about Jota being back and that being really important. I get that, but there is absolutely no way that Klopp plays Jota to death in those three matches. Yeah. And Gakpo's not in good form, like you say. So you might not like Darwin as much at the moment,
but
and he might not be in good
time,
form, but he's going to get the minutes because he's going to have to.
He's so off it though. The narrative with Darwin that we've had in previous months this season and last season was that he racks up the XG and he misses loads of chances.
Yeah,
and we'll sit here and we laugh because he might score one out of six chances, kind of donkey's ass with a banjo, can he? But he's not racking up the XG now.
No,
he's not getting the chances, and I haven't seen much in terms of his play style. We played against Brighton recently. What was the game? Was it Brighton? Can't remember. It might have been Brighton. And I think we won. And he didn't get involved with the goals, but he moved the defenders around. He did, because I remember it being Lewis Dunk. And he played really well. And Diaz and Salah benefited. You could see it. But I'm not seeing that every week from Dunk.
No.
I don't know what he is at the moment. He's not a sort of Firmino, Watkins style, you know, occupied defenders. And he's also not racking up the XG, getting on the end of chances.
No. But Liverpool aren't at the moment either. Like, yeah. The attacking football's not quite right at the moment. Defensively, so the thing with Liverpool in the past, last season, season before, the defence was always solid. You always had a solid defensive unit at Liverpool. You've been really unlucky this season with injuries to your defence. But the defence hasn't been solid because for different parts of the season, you've been without key assets. Now, going into the next few weeks and the final few weeks of the season, we do appear to have nearly all of them back now. Alisson's back. Trent obviously came on today. Robbo has been back for a couple of games.
What did you
of
make of Robbo's performance today from what you've heard?
Robbo, I mean, I haven't seen any of it at all, but from what I was listening to what the guys in the Slack were saying as I was watching the tournament play out.
Reasonable reaction on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah, he seemed to be the one that... And I think if you do want to go for a Liverpool defender, he's the one. But the problem I have with Robbo is the budget. Because, you know, he's not a cheap option. They're two difficult fixtures on paper. They should be winnable for Liverpool. But Fulham are a challenging team. We saw that today. Obviously, they go away to West Ham and score two goals against them. So you got some tough opposition there. Do I think there's a clean sheet against Fulham? Probably not. What about Everton? Well, probably, because they're terrible in attack, but let's see what happens with them tomorrow against Chelsea before we cast judgment on them. It's tough with Liverpool. I've got two and I'm not getting a third.
You're
because
not, no.
I don't see who Robbo, I think, is probably the one, but I don't have the money or the time or the...
And you're not wildcard in 35
and
either.
I don't wanna...
So if you've got Robbo in this week, I'm not sure you'd want him in 35 onwards.
And I don't want to take a hit for a player that I don't want to keep longer term.
I think if you were free hitting next week, or indeed if you're wildcarding and you've only got two Liverpool going into 34...
I'd take a punt then.
I don't mind Robbo.
Yeah,
I'd take a punt. Or even if you are money bags and you've got Trent, you could get Trent because Conor Bradley got injured. So as much as I don't think Klopp wants to rush Trent back with too many minutes, he might not have a choice. Now, do you want to bring a half-fit Trent into your FPL team? You might do, because he's Trent. But Robbo looks the one. To be honest, in that first half, from what I read and from what I saw, he looked like he was dragging us through it on his own. You know, it's crazy. Well, enough about Liverpool. I do want to talk about Palace, though, because Palace have got a really nice double
game.
They've
got a double.
But before we go there, just want to a quick shout-out to Kens. Thank you, mate, for another super chat. Really appreciate it, mate. He was there today, too lethargic and casual. Yeah, there's that word again. I do believe you're right, Kens. I do believe it's been so... It's like too calm sometimes.
Yeah.
It's too calm. It's like, come on, boys. Like, let's get at it. way too slow and can cut through us easily. Dyer in front of goal too, missed chances today, inexcusable. Can't disagree with any of that, Kenz. I can't disagree with any of that. And you're using the same words as me, lethargic, casual. These are the sorts of words I would put in my Liverpool lexicon right now. It's not good. It's really, really not good. Talk to me about Palace, though, because if we have a look at their fixtures, they are top of the shops. West Ham and Newcastle, both at home. Then Fulham, then Man U, Wolves and Aston Villa. They're looking very, very good. Top for XG underachievers this week was Mateta with an XG of 1.13. Now, most of that XG is going to be that chance where it just hit Alisson's hand and went over. He looked threatening today, as I thought that he would. Sat here last week and said he'll give us trouble, and he did. And he was the one occupying the defenders so that Eze had the space and time to just side foot it in for his goal. So where are you looking from a Crystal Palace perspective for game week 34? Or are you not? Because again, in 35, you're not wildcarding.
No, I am.
You are? Okay.
I am. So my original plan, if you remember, was to do the Gordon Eze hokey cokey.
Oh, yeah.
And swap them in and out and shake them all about. However.
Sure, you won't do that with Gordon anymore, do you? He's too good.
Well, he was going to come straight back in for 35. Okay. So it wasn't like I was going to lose him for any significant period of time. But it's more that I'm starting to really, I think with the transfers at the moment, you really value them, don't you? And with the double game week for Spurs and Chelsea coming in 35 rather than 36, suddenly there are other things probably to do going into 35 rather than bringing back Anthony Gordon for Eze.
Yeah,
so rather than wasting two transfers on that, I am, however, in the hunt for a new third forward because I've had Muniz for a couple of weeks. That's actually worked out really well. And I did that on my wild card because at that price point, he enabled everything else to work perfectly. But the downgrade of Ollie Watkins to Nunez has meant that there's money in the bank. That money in the bank I can use to upgrade Muniz. So I'm looking at whether I go for a Mateta or whether I go for Cunha at Wolves. And it's going to be a choice between one of those two. It's just which way do I go with it?
Yeah.
But that's where I'm looking. But then the other thing is I wouldn't rule out a Crystal Palace defender either because, you know, we see Mitchell today. He's a nice cheap option.
Three bonus points for Mitchell.
Yeah, he got the assist, didn't he, today for the Eze goal. I think he's an option. Defensively, Crystal Palace have been good. I mean, at different points in the season, I've had a couple of them. I had Gaye for a while. I've had Anderson for a while.
Anderson played well. He's really good. Yeah,
he's a really good. So, you know, defensively, I don't think they're too bad either. So, and the good thing about Palace is they're not hugely expensive. So you could have them and then bench them for a little bit afterwards. They're not the sort of team that you would need to immediately ditch, if you know what I mean.
To that end, could you go for the goalkeeper? You stick Henderson
in
there.
Yes, you could, absolutely.
And then if you want to, you know, rotate him out, you can easily do that in 35.
Yeah, if you need a goalkeeper, then absolutely.
Yeah, just looking at the CBI index, the clearances, blocks and interceptions index, which is, again, on the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Anderson, top of the shops with 15 across the CBIs this week. So, yeah, Lerma in second, Bassey in third. So, Anderson... particularly good game for Crystal Palace. So, yeah, they're on radar. No doubt about it, they're on radar. I'm probably going to grab a couple of them, I think, for 34. Now, I've got two free transfers, so do I want to spend both of my transfers getting Palace players in? I might do, you know. I might do. Depends how much I want to move my Liverpool and my Arsenal around. I feel like I've made my bed with Liverpool and Arsenal.
I don't think you can change Liverpool
I don't
and Arsenal
really
now.
Want Darwin, and I don't... I'm not sure I massively want McAllister either, but I've sort of done it now. And I sort of have to deal with it. So I'm going to have to deal with it.
And it's only 1 week and then you're wild card.
Correct. Yeah, correct. Eze, I think, is the one that's probably going to come in for me. And he's likely to come in for Foden, I think.
Makes loads of sense.
Foden for Eze. And then maybe back again, right? Who knows? But Eze for that double game.
Yeah, but that's different again, right? Because you're wildcarding. Whereas I think the hokey cokey maybe doesn't make sense if you're not wildcarding because you're using two of your transfers to move players around. But
yeah, thank you for the member chat, Yash. Yash has been a member for 23 months as well. So, Yash, thank you for supporting the channel for so long, mate.
Thanks, guys.
On a bench boost this week, like it. Can you advise on Jota? Is he an option? Feels like Darwin's not finishing his meals right now. Top three double game week strikers. I think he's up there, you know, because no one's going to have him, right? Because a lot of us have been building to game week 34 with Mo, probably, Darwin, probably, and then someone else.
But you always say...
Go on.
You always say that Klopp, the one thing Klopp does is he listens to the physios. He listens to the doctors.
Yeah.
And he listens to the advice that they've been given.
I think he's an option, though.
Do you think he's going to get enough minutes?
He will get minutes.
Yeah, but do you think he'll get enough minutes?
He doesn't need loads of minutes. He's so clinical. He's got the best goal conversion rate in the league. I noticed that Sky put something on the TV today about him having 25% goal conversion rate. He's up there, and he couldn't be coming back at a better time for us. We massively need him.
Yeah.
It would not surprise me to see him get plenty of minutes against Atalanta during the week, just to get game time.
Yeah.
And then does he come in, or does he come off the bench for that first game in the double game week? I don't know. Probably off the bench.
I don't think he'd be risked too much.
But to Yash's point, like, if you're chasing in your mini leagues, why not? Why not? I like him. I obviously, I like Jota. I think he's a top player. But
would you not rather have Eze?
Maybe. But we're answering a question specifically about Jota. Sam, we're rapidly running out of time here, and we're spending too long on Liverpool and Spurs. Let's go back to the results. Where's my results page? There it is. What else to discuss that's important? We should just quickly touch on 5-1, Man City 5, Luton 1. Haaland with the captaincy haul, double digits for him with a 10-pointer. So if you captained him, well done. He was the correct captain. Although if you have captained Palmer, he's still to come, obviously, for tomorrow night. But so far, Haaland, the right captain. Do you think he looked a bit out of sorts?
Do you know, it's funny, because my question...
Because the assist is, like, hilarious.
Well, it's not an assist,
it's
is
just
it?
Not
it's
an assist.
It's a terrible shot.
Yeah.
My question to you was going to be, were we all a bit lucky to get those? And I think we absolutely were. I think,
100%.
You know, as a Haaland captain, I was like, okay, great. Nice. You know, goal and assist. Thank you very much.
He can do that, of course.
And of course he can do that. But I do feel like he's not quite there at the moment. He's not quite 100%.
Not banging him in. Like Luton at home in a 5-1. If you saw that result 6 months ago, you go, oh, he got a hat-trick then. Pen and got a flaky assist.
Yeah.
And then got a couple of bonus, didn't he, off the back of it?
No, didn't he lose his bonus?
No, one bonus, by the looks of it.
Yeah, he lost a bonus right at the end.
Yeah, yeah. That was a Doku game, that, wasn't it? If I'd have thought about this and actually been a decent FPL player, you'd be looking ahead at that and going, that's a Doku game, isn't it?
No, but would you? Because there's a double game week. No, but there's a double game week next week and you've got phone. You're not going to be...
This is the problem with bloody double game weeks, is that we all make decisions based on what's coming up for the double not actually what's going to happen.
But the thing is that the Doku's one of those players that you're never realistically going to get in hole because you're never going to be sure when he's going to get the starts or not. And again, Man City have got a big game to play in midweek next week. So this one always felt like it was going to be risky, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
This game had Pep roulette written all over it. And Rodri. You know, so I know that a lot of people don't have Rodri, but he's been the height of consistent for them. So it's tough with Man City. It remains tough with Man City. And I think whilst they stay in the Champions League, the rotation will always be there. And of course, now Pep's got the upper hand in the league. He will see it as the upper hand in the league anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we might see some more rotation, but I do feel a little bit lucky as a Haaland. That's a cross between Haaland and Darwin.
Both as bad as each other at the minute.
Captainer.
At least Haaland's getting the points. Adam Stevo, nice question. How much value you got in Foden, Lee? Losing a lot if you sell him. I think about 0.2, mate. I think he took a price dip yesterday.
He did, yeah.
So I've got about 0.2 left in him. It's getting to that point of the season where I'm not really looking at price rises quite as much as I would early on in the season.
Particularly if you don't want to keep Salah after 34.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. So I will stand to lose a little bit if I take him out and bring him back in, Adam, is the answer to the question. But I'm not too concerned about that. There was some goals in this game, by the way. See Kovacic's goal.
Oh, Kovacic's goal was great, yeah.
What a goal. And Gvardiol as well. My theory on Gvardiol is that he is taking this season to adapt to the league. I think he is going to be a top FPL asset next year. And I'm hoping FPL Towers don't go too crazy on him and put him 6-5 or something stupid. Because I think he's going to be in everyone's team game week one next season. Vardy, I'll like him a lot. What else to discuss, Sam? We should briefly touch on Wolves if we can, particularly Matthias Cunha with his two goals. Forest 2, Wolves 2. The reason I want to focus on Wolves is because they too have the double game week coming up with Arsenal and Bournemouth at home. Two home games. And then, for those that are not wildcarding, they've got Luton at home in 35. So worthy of conversation. Nothing for your man, Ait Nouri, who didn't feature in this game, unfortunately.
And not on the bench. Travelled with the squad.
Yes.
But not on the bench.
Yeah, despite what Gary O'Neill said in his press conference on Friday, where he said he'd be involved with the matchday squad, but I suppose involved with the matchday squad
well,
can
he went.
Mean...
he was on the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's an interesting one, isn't it, this? Because obviously I'm not going to do anything about him, because if he plays in the double, then great, I want him. Cunha... I love Ait Nouri. I enjoy owning him. I can't also see me selling him either, even, like you say, because the fixture following the double is nice. So I just have to hope that he's back.
Cunha in the conversation for next week?
Cunha's 100% is him or Mateta for me. One of them's coming in. I'm not quite sure which one. But
second
one of them
for,
will come in.
Second amongst forwards for underlying BPS this week with 49. Only Isak was better. Only just better as well with 50.
Yeah.
And he was fourth overall amongst all players, Matthias Cunha. So I like him. I hadn't spotted this. Jose Sarr assist.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, Jose Sarr
I missed
an assist.
That.
Yep, got an assist.
Brilliant. If you've got Jose Sarr, fair play.
Yep.
Cunha, as George Day is saying in the chat, is a decent option.
He's
a decent option.
And cheap as well. That's the other good thing about him.
Last one, Sam, before we move to our teams and all that sort of good stuff. Bournemouth 2, Manchester United 2, because again, Bournemouth have got a double game week. How the bloody hell have Manchester United got a draw out of this? How the hell have Man United got a draw out of this? Tell me.
I don't know, Lee, because, like... How Justin Kluivert hasn't got 30 points out of that
it
game?
It should be 4-1 at half-time. And
easily.
The United fans are going to come at me now because I'm in a bad mood because we lost and they're right to come at me. I've got no problem with you coming at me. Because they showed some resilience, right? They dug in, they got a 2-2. So fair play, United fans. You got a draw. But I'm telling you, they should have been 4-1 down at half-time. The chances that Bournemouth missed in the first half was unreal. But Dom Solanke popping up again with another goal. He keeps ticking over. I don't mind having him in my team right now. Love having him in my team, actually. Double game week-wise, I will be playing him. I haven't liked the look of the Bournemouth defence, though, at all.
Okay.
So there's another one.
You've got Zabani.
I've got Zabani. He's got a double game week, so I'm probably not going to sell him. I probably am going to play him. Do I expect much more than a 4 next week, though? Not really.
Got a goal last time.
Yeah, but they don't look like they're going to keep clean sheets with much abundance, Bournemouth. So anyway, Dom's in. He'll be in my team. No issue. Just whether I go with Zabani to start or whether I put him on the bench, I don't know. Let's see. Anything else to say about this game?
No.
Anybody else catching your eye from Bournemouth? You did give Kluivert a bit of a shout-out on the pod, didn't you?
He's my diff this week.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
What was your thinking behind that?
Manchester United's defence is so bad. It's right. So bad. And their underlying stats are so bad defensively. And I thought... And then there was the Semenya was a doubt. Tavernier was a doubt, and I just thought there's a good opportunity here for Kluivert to play in a really advanced position, and if he does, he could haul, and he should have blimmin' hauled. Like, I appreciate that he got a goal, but he should have hauled. He should have had a couple of goals and an assist. I'm a bit annoyed because it takes me back above Jules because he's differential blanked. But nonetheless, I'm still annoyed about it because it could have been massive. That should have been a massive haul for Kluivert.
Yeah, John Robert Knight's in the chat. He's saying Senesi. He did play well, Senesi. We saw him early in the season be a bit of an FPL asset. So he's one maybe if you want to bring in. I'd have him over Zabani.
Well, yeah,
right?
But you got unlucky with Senesi last time, didn't you? Because he got injured ahead of the last double.
Yes, yeah. Let's not beat around the bush. The only reason I've got Zabani is because he's been in there for a few weeks from last time out when we all went a bit Zabani mad. Rightly so, because he's
scored.
But I'm not going too crazy on him this week. If you've got him, hold him. But otherwise, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I was going to make a comment then about Manchester United. What was that going to be? Oh, did you see the Antony rumours? You seen the fact he stormed out of the training ground when he was told he wasn't in the starting 11?
Oh,
seen all this?
There's always a drama at that football club. Why has there always got to be a drama? Can't we all just live in harmony? What's wrong with
Ten
Man United?
Ten Hag is gone. He's gone.
The only positive I've got to say about Manchester United is that if you want a cheap midfielder to go alongside Gordon and Palmer, then you can go with Garnacho, and they do
bit
have
a jammy
double
assist.
Coming up.
I'm not having this assist.
I'm not
by the
talking
way,
about.
This week.
I'm not talking about the assist this week. But all I'm saying is that Garnacho is the only player in the Manchester United team, the only player in the Manchester United team that I would own in my FPL team.
Those are the ones I don't like, right?
Oh, here we go.
The Garnacho points. That's come on. Yeah, if we're calling that an assist, I don't think we are we? Like, Anthony Gordon, 17 points. I didn't have him. I was gutted. But deserved, right? He was man of the match by a mile. He was great. Garnacho was crap. And he gets an assist for that. And hauled off at half-time. Not having it, Sam. Not having it. Right, let's move on to... let's do a quick shout-out to our patrons before we move on. I don't know, I went on a bit
you
of
just,
a
just,
mini Garnacho
yeah,
rant.
Yeah, I don't feel
why.
Like Garnacho is like the least Manchester United one to rant at
as
well.
Man United thing, I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Who knows?
But endless entertainment from the likes of Anthony having a strop off the training ground when he's not in the 11. Brilliant. FPL family, Patreon, so patreon.com, forgot what I was doing then, patreon.com/ FPL family. If you'd like bonus O'Hara podcasts, all the usual stuff I mentioned, if you'd like to take part in our Manager of the Month competitions, Zoom calls with Sam and I if you want advice on your team, and of course our wonderful Slack community, which keeps Sam up to date when we're at our son's grassroots football tournament. Thank you, Slackers. Then that is the place to go and get all of that good stuff. If you're enjoying the live streams here on a Sunday night, and you want to come and support the channel in a different way and get some extra stuff from us, then that is the place to get it. Patreon.com/ FPL family. All the links are in the description below. You can come and support us at $3, $5 or $10 tiers. Don't expect there to be too much change for next season either. The one thing I would point out is that if you do join us, we will not charge you for June or July. Nothing happens in June or July, quite honestly.
There's no football for free.
So there isn't really a competition to be had. We don't do as many Ohana podcasts, if any, because there's no
We don't
no
do
football.
Them until the game goes, really, do we?
So June, July, if you want to join now, it's a good time to join because you'll pay for May, but then you will not be charged for June and July, and then you get charged again in August when we kick off again for the 24-25
Because you won't be able to join in June, will you? That's a weird thing that happens.
There's a weird thing on Patreon. I've got to look into this on Patreon. There's a weird thing where, yeah, if we are not charging people for June, July, which we won't, we should pause it. Then while you pause it, you also can't like... You can join at the free tier. So you can come and join at the free tier, I think, on Patreon. So you can do that if you like, which is the same as joining but not paying. So you can do that. Anyway, all the rules and all the stuff that you need to know that we should know, but we don't. Patreon.com/ FPL family is the place to go. That is it. That's all I've got to say about that. Let's have a look at our team, Sam. I'll go first. 42... total points 2022, overrank 39k, down from 34, a small red arrow, -6.2.
Two Chelsea boys to come.
Well, I have Gusto and I have Palmer. Palmer's just gonna do, you know, whatever he does, he'll do, right? Yeah, but everyone's got him, so it's no biggie, is it? He's literally has no impact on your rank. Gusto, yeah, if he could get something, I'd appreciate that. That'd be nice, because that would probably turn my red arrow into a green one, so I'd take that. Played Areola because I fancied you to score at Newcastle, and I thought, well, West Ham might keep a clean sheet at home to Fulham. Well, I got both those things wrong, didn't I? And got Jammy because he didn't even turn up for that game, and Dubravka's 6 points come in. As it happens, he's probably, I wouldn't say saving a game week, but it's pretty close, isn't it? Him and Dom Solanke. McAllister's coming off the bench for Foden as well. Was hoping for something from McAllister, not to be. Again, he's the fun punt I'm having and I've had for
Has
a couple
it been
of weeks.
Fun?
No, because he's not got anything, is he? But, you know, his EO is at like 1 point something around my rank. So the minute he does something, Sam, I will get a great green arrow. But he's done nothing since I bought him in for 2 weeks. After 6 consecutive weeks of returns,
yeah.
I bought him in and he's got nothing. Thanks, Maka. So there we go. So really, it's Dom Solanke and it's Dubravka that's saving my game week. I've got the Haaland points. That's good. Didn't get anything from the Newcastle game. Not so good. So yeah, small red, probably going to be, I don't know, maybe a little green if Gusto does something. If not, it's going to be there or thereabouts. 39k going into the double game week. I've got my 3 Arsenal. I've got my 3 Liverpool. I've got Dom Solanke in there. I haven't got a doubling goalkeeper. So there's that to consider.
You've barely got a goalkeeper.
I've barely got a goalkeeper at all. Gusto and Palmer will probably be on my bench. Although I might play Palmer based on the Arsenal performance today.
I think you'd play Palmer as a
pens. I think I probably would. But Gusto, I'm for sure, is going to be benched. Doherty's going to be benched as well. And then the third one is interesting, isn't it? I don't know. Because the likelihood is, I don't mind the Foden to Eze transfer that I mentioned before.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't mind that at all. And I do have another free transfer, which I will be using. Because obviously I'm going to be wildcarding in game week 35.
Oh yeah, don't burn it.
I'm not sure where that's going to be yet. This is why I asked you the question about Henderson before. Because Would I mind having a double in goalkeeper? I don't mind that actually. An Areola for Henderson and doing Palace double goalkeeper, double game week
yeah,
for Henderson.
That's not so bad,
I don't
is
mind
it?
That.
Yeah.
So yeah, do I spend my two free transfers bringing in Palace players? That seems a bit odd, doesn't it? But like I said before, the doublers that I've got, I'm not going to change. But I can't say I massively like them. I mean, McAllister and Darwin, I would not have them, I don't think.
No.
If I was free hitting this week in double game week 34, I think I would have Mo, because I think you just have to have him. I probably would have Jota just for the fun, you know, and then I'd probably have Robbo. I probably wouldn't have Darwin, and I probably wouldn't have Maka. But like I said, I've made my bed now, so I've got a lie in it. same with Arsenal. Saka, yes, I probably would have him still. Would I have the two at the back, or would I go for a Havertz or somebody else? I'd probably have a Havertz, you know. But again, I've had them, they're in there, and I'm not going to change them, so they're in. So that's my team. It's reasonably set for game week 34. I've got pretty much, let me just have a look. For the sake of the podcasters, I'll read out my team for next week, as it is my bus team, which, hold the line, callers, looks like this. Currently, Dubravka in goal, single game week. Saliba, Gabriel and Zabani at the back, all double game weekers. McAllister, Salah, Saka and Foden in midfield, which could become Eze, so they'd all be double game weekers. Darwin, Solanke and Haaland up front. So it would only be, if I did the Eze and the Henderson moves, it would only be Haaland with the single game week. It would mean that Palmer would be first bench, with Gusto second bench, and then Doughty third bench.
All right. Doughty, I've still got him.
Yeah, listen, Brentford at home, single game week next week. Don't sniff it. It might play him over Zabani, and I'm not joking.
What?
I don't want Zabani. He's going to get four, whereas Doughty might get an assist.
Okay.
I don't know. You can't not play the double game week, can you? Anyway, 39k, down a bit. We'll see how the Chelsea boys get on. A green for you, Sam, from FPL Family. Very good. I say very good. It's all on one player. It's all on Anthony Gordon, isn't it? It could get a lot better if the Chelsea clean sheet sticks against Everton tomorrow night. You'd be
Chelsea
very head. Happy with that.
All
you
I really want. Do you know what I want, Lee, more than anything else?
Go on. A Petrovic double pen save.
No, 0-0. Just a nil-nil. Really boring 0-0.
What? Because whether Palmer does anything or not,
Palmer,
is kind of
Palmer's a burr.
Here or there, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, just yeah. Whatever. He's just going to be a beat. He's just going to be a.
And if he didn't get anything, those are captained him. Get no points. For
exactly.
Him, right?
Yeah. You get three, that's fine. Take that.
Yeah.
And then Gusto and Petrovic, if they could get a clean sheet and three baps each, life would be really good, right? So but, I'm actually quite pleased with this, though, because yeah. I've still got three players to play, so that's good.
Gordon's saving your game week, though, when you look at that.
Yeah,
look
because
that.
Because the thing is, well, and Haaland. The thing is that for me, I made one transfer this week, so I've still got two transfers again for next week. I went Udogi to Gabriel.
Oh, so it's your fault. You've broken the Arsenal defence.
Sure. I mean, if you like.
You've been on just Saliba all these weeks. You've brought in Gabriel, double Arsenal clean sheet. All of us that have had double Arsenal for weeks and weeks enjoying it. Now you've done it, Sam. You've broken it.
Well,
cheers.
I hoped that by selling Udogie, I was going to fix the Spurs defence. That didn't
happen. That didn't happen.
So we've still got three to go. Obviously, the double Arsenal defence didn't work. Well, none of the Arsenal players worked. Neither did my two Liverpool assets. Anthony Gordon is a legend. And Son being hauled early... just
Sonny one pointer
didn't see that coming at all. I thought actually Son was a decent captaincy option this week. It was only the 12:30 kickoff that put me off. So looking at my team for next week then, I have Pickford in goal with a double game week.
Nice.
A back three of Gabriel, Saliba and Ait Nouri all on doubles.
I like the sound of that.
Currently in midfield,
I've got to think about him, haven't I?
Yeah.
Never mind playing Doughty and getting in Henderson.
Well, it depends if he's fit, though, doesn't it?
I've got to do Doughty to Ait Nouri if he's fit. I've got to do that.
And then a midfield four currently of Palmer, Saka, Gordon and Salah. Obviously just Saka and Salah with the double. Gordon away at Crystal Palace, who don't love that because it's an away fixture Gordon away from home, blah, blah, blah. And then up top, Haaland, Darwin and Muniz.
Muniz with a double, no?
No, only no. A single game
so
week.
So you haven't got that many doublers?
I have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 at the moment with two free transfers. So I can have 9. My current strategy, I think, or my plan is definitely to go for Muniz to either Mateta or Cunha. At the moment, I'm leaning towards Mateta. Okay, just quite fancy the Mateta pick. So Munez to Mateta, I think probably will happen.
He's in decent form, Mateta. He's a good differential,
yeah,
I think.
So I think that might happen this week. That would be a nice differential. And then the question is, what do I do with the other transfer? So do I go Lascelles to somebody? With a double, like do I the strategy's got to be do I pick a player that's got a double this week?
You could go as an SE or somebody like that.
I could, yeah, yeah. But the question is, do I want to? Because obviously this player that comes in, I then got to keep them ideally.
Yes.
So do I want to? Or I could go. So I could go for a Branthwaite. That is another option. Have the double
Everton defence. Everton, are you mad?
Defense. Because they do have a nice game in 37. Or do I just go, do you know what? Forget about a doubler. Just get a good single game week, yeah, in that slot, which is where I'm leaning at the moment. And then know that I've got them available for the rest of the season as is required. Maybe even go for somebody that's going to double later on, which is why I was tempted to bring in last week when I was talking about bringing in Mickey van der Ven instead, because there was an opportunity there to obviously have him. But obviously the man with Spurs blanking this week, that's what put me off that strategy. So I don't quite know yet. Definitely Munez to Mateta. So I'll have 8 doublers, definitely. Maybe 9.
Munez gone a little bit off the boil. I noticed maybe, he was in the XG underachievers third with a delta of 0.78.
But I'm not going to go all in on the doublers. Because often we see the single game week is doing well. Like, I want to play Haaland next week.
Yes.
So that's fine. I'm quite happy to play Palmer away at Arsenal.
All of a sudden, yeah, that's not looking as bad as it might otherwise have been, right?
Yeah. I mean, the one I'd ideally probably wouldn't want to play is Anthony Gordon away at Crystal Palace, just because it's an away fixture.
He's in good form.
Yeah, but he's not good away. And so maybe I wouldn't want to play him, but it's not the end of the world if I have to play him.
If you had to play him, it wouldn't be, yeah. It's not terrible, is it? Yeah.
So it might even be that I roll my transfer again and have another one going into to 35 instead. Like, I don't...
To counteract all those that are wildcarding.
Possibly,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not looking at my team and thinking, goodness me, that's in a terrible state.
No, absolutely
I'm looking
not.
At it thinking, I've got 8 doublers and another free transfer still to make if I want to. So we'll see.
All right. Well, listen, green
and
arrow.
And it's green at the moment.
It's green at the moment. It should be even more green.
The green should stick.
You've got Palmer covered off there. Unless Palmer goes mental as a captain.
Yeah, but...
Maybe. There'd be some captains
Palmer's
out there.
Palmer's
EO. You've got it. You've got him covered.
I don't think it's
that
bad around my rank.
You've got him covered. And then Gusto and then Petrovic. Most... there'd be a lot of FPL managers with Palmer and maybe Gusto, right? There's not going to be many out there with two defenders. So if you get a Chelsea clean sheet, you're laughing, aren't you? You're laughing.
Yeah.
So 45 points this week, small green, moving in the right direction, which is good. And
101.
For what?
EO. Palmer.
Palmer. Oh, okay. So
it's not going to hurt me that much.
Not going to hurt too much if he doesn't do anything. Yeah, okay. Very good. All right, Sam. Tell everybody what is coming up this week, please.
So, busy week again, as is always the case. I feel like I say that every time we come on here and you say that. So, I will be on off the bench this week. I'm going to be on with Praz. I don't think Praz and I have ever
done...
You and
Praz?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I don't think Praz and I have ever done a pod together. So nice. I'm really looking forward to that. So yeah, Praz and I on Tuesday morning. Obviously, we've got to wait for the nil-nil snooze fest that's going to be Chelsea and Everton. Come on, boys. Don't let me down.
Can't wait for that
on Monday
to be a boring
evening.
Game, can you?
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to be so bored tomorrow night watching that. And then
the chat's just saying Chelsea won't keep a clean sheet. No chance.
Guys, stop it. Don't ruin my dreams. Imagine the worst thing that could happen is that Everton win 1-0 and Pickford's on my bench.
I'll be playing a bit of football myself tomorrow night. I always miss MNF.
You all do, yeah.
Because I go out and play.
It's just me bored watching.
It's just you bored. If I get back in my car at the end, and they usually get back in and it's either just finished or is about to finish.
Yeah.
And that Chelsea clean sheet has stuck. Will I be happy or not?
Yeah, you will.
I will be happy. I've got a good start.
You'll come home and you'll be like, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be happy for you because, you know, you need the points. Right, what else
Savage.
Is going on?
So anyway, so I'm doing that with Praz on Tuesday morning. That'll be out Tuesday afternoon. On Thursday morning, as is always, the official pod will be out.
Laurence has got lucky again this week. I hate to mention it. I don't want to keep bringing him up.
You bring him up. He's living in your head rent-free at the moment.
Absolutely not. But... to play Kelleher this week
and
have Leno on the bench
is
unreal luck, by the way. The luck this guy gets is
also
unreal.
Would you also like to note that he had brought in Ben White this week?
Oh, my God.
who went off for a clean sheet before Arsenal lost it.
How does he do it? I genuinely don't know.
It's back up to like 5K.
I think someone can make a case study out of Jules Arons's FPL. Like, he hasn't got a clue, Sam. When he sits on that podcast and you're talking about stuff, you can hear him mentally writing it all down. You're talking about all these things and planning, and he's like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. And then he goes and does something like that. Kelleher doesn't play for the first time in weeks. Alisson back a little bit more quicker than we expected. So Kelleher doesn't play. Okay, that's unlucky. But not if you've got Leno, first sub who gets a clean sheet away at West Ham. What? And a 9-point got bonus as well, didn't he, Leno? I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it.
Well, anyway, I'll be back dealing with Jules and Kelly on... Well, not Kelly. I don't deal with Kelly. I'll be back dealing with Jules and seeing Kelly on Thursday morning when we record the official pod. I'll also be doing the Q&A, as always, with Az on Friday afternoon. And then Lee and I will be back together again on Saturday morning over on Sky Sports News if you're in the
UK. Are we Sky on Saturday?
We are back on Sky Sports News to talk about Double Game Week 34. And I'll be going on with a green arrow, Lee, because surely these Chelsea defenders are getting me multiple points.
Watch out for a Petrovic red or something.
Oh, my God. Don't. I'll literally lose my mind.
Surely it's going to be green for you, Sam, this week. Surely it's going to be green.
Nobody's that highly owned apart from Palmer. I've got him.
And even a clean sheet or an assist for Gusto would mean that I think I would be a smidgen green as well, which given the week we've had with Liverpool and Arsenal both in the mud and not having anything from Newcastle, I think I would take that as well this
week. Do you know what you need to do, Lee?
Go on.
You need to have some vision, talent and planning.
Vision, talent and planning, and have someone like Leno ready to come on for his top performance of the season when I'd picked the Liverpool keeper who didn't play for the first time in weeks. Absolutely unreal. There we go, guys. Lots of talent and planning and vision on this FPL Family podcast, as usual. Thanks for joining us. Leave us a like before you go. Well done in game week 33. Get ready, because blank. I wish it was blank. It'd be easier to
navigate. It is a blank.
Double blank for Spurs, anyway. Double game week 34.
Spurs, how sad.
Is just on the horizon. Spurs and Ange Postecoglou have got 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
I've just remembered something.
What?
We made it to a final, Spurs, this weekend.
Spurs made it to a final?
Yeah. The ladies.
Oh, okay.
Cup final. We might win a trophy, okay. Lee. The trophy cabinet might have a trophy in it.
Spurs
might have a trophy in it.
Oh, my God. Spurs might get the Women's FA Cup.
Yeah. I tried to get tickets. They're sold out. That Can't get
be,
a ticket.
That'd be a reason for you to buy a cabinet then. Daniel Levy can go
We've
and buy
a We've got
a cabinet.
It's cabinet. Empty. No, it's not empty. It's got the Audi Cup in it.
The Audi Cup going alongside the Women's FA trophy.
And the League Cup from, like, back in the day.
Super duper.
Imagine it.
Super duper. Well, there we go. We'll leave you with that,
Maybe
guys.
Maybe Harry Kane could go and play for the ladies for that.
Poor old Harry. What's he got to do to get a trophy, this guy?
He's going to win the Euros with England.
It's unbelievable. Oh, I hope so. Guys, well done in game week 33. Game week 34 is but a few days away. Keep those knees from jerking because we've got European football for all of the big FPL assets, or a lot of them, coming up this week. So keep that knee from jerking. Get planning ahead with your talent and your vision for game week 34. Listen to Sam on the pod and all that sort of good stuff for the rest of the week. And we'll see you this time next week. Cheers, guys.
Bye, everybody.